I guess the Lord's Day has always had a special feel to it. I've noticed that when we've been on vacation or maybe you're out camping somewhere where every day kind of feels the same, you always notice when it's Sunday, because Sunday feels different than the other days of the week. If you ever thought about it, it was on a Sunday, the first day of the week when God created the heavens and the earth, said, "Let there be light." That was the first day. It was on a Sunday, the Lord's Day, when the angel said at the tomb of Jesus, "He is not here. He is risen." Which means it was a Sunday on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after that Sabbath, where Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." So Sunday has a special feel to it because it is special. And I want you to know it's special for me to be with you today. Glad we can be together on this first day of the week. Are you familiar with the concept of a mission statement? A mission statement is what a company will put out to advertise what their goals are. This is what they want to accomplish. This is what their aim is as a business. And so, for instance, Coca-Cola has a very simple mission statement: to refresh the world. Disney's mission statement is to provide entertainment for people of all ages. AT&T, their mission is to connect people and to keep you on hold while they do that. That's their mission. Aren't you glad that we don't have to wonder what Jesus' mission was when he came to the earth? He stated it. The Son of Man has come to not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And so Jesus' mission was a mission of service. And if we're going to follow Jesus and be his disciples, we're going to have to embrace a mission of service. Who will follow Jesus serving him today? That's our mission. Now, we see this illustrated for us in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And a request was made on this occasion by two of Jesus' apostles, James and John. So in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, follow along with me as I start reading at verse 35. Mark 10, verse 35. "And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him, saying to him, 'Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant that we, in your glory, may sit on your right and on your left.' But Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And Jesus said to them, 'The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared.' And hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, 'You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So I want you to see the picture that James and John are visioning in their mind of Jesus in his kingdom. He, of course, sits on the throne as king. He reigns and rules over his kingdom. But they said, may we, Jesus, put our thrones on your right and on your left. May we be in positions of power and prominence so that whatever you need, you would call on us and we could carry out the wishes of our king. These are the two, remember, to whom Jesus gave the nickname Sons of Thunder. They were the ones who, when the Samaritans would not let Jesus and the disciples pass through their land, said, Jesus, do you want us like Elijah to call down the fire of God to consume them and burn them to a crisp? They got the mission, didn't they? Jesus came to serve. They said, let's burn them all up. And now they're wanting these positions on his right and left to have authority. Jesus said, that's not why we're here. Even the Son of Man, the King, didn't come to be served. He came to be a servant. So who will follow Jesus? Serving him today. I still remember the brother who shared this with me in the foyer of the church building in Beaumont, Texas. And after I'd preached, he came up and said, you know, there are only two approaches to living life. He said, you can wear a bib or you can wear an apron. The bib is for the person who wants to be served. Give me this, bring me that, I need that. The apron is for the person who says, I will serve. And really, those are the two choices before us, either in the local church or in our families or out in the world. What's going to be your mission? To be served? To wear a bib or to serve and wear the apron of a servant. Because the Son of Man didn't come to wear a bib. He literally put on a towel, an apron, and served the greatest act of service to give his life a ransom for many. Who will follow and be a servant? Now, before you're quick to answer, I want you to notice a couple of things in our text that is going to be involved in being a servant. Remember, this is a matter of the will. We want to be workers for the Lord. But who will? The first thing we see about a servant is that this mission of service is for volunteers. Now that has a whole different meaning in Tennessee, doesn't it? To say service is for volunteers. What I mean is service is for those who volunteer for the job, who recognize there are other choices, but I want to be a servant. Service is for volunteers. Look at verse 43 again. Notice that Jesus said, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Now that's the same language, isn't it, of Matthew 16 and verse 24 when he said, whoever wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow. See, that's a volunteer position. Whoever wishes. Think about that. Did Jesus have to go to the cross? Did Jesus have to come from heaven to earth? No, what does he say about that? He said, I lay down my life. I give it up. He volunteered. He didn't say, well, Lord, send an angel. Send one of your sons. Service is for volunteers. You ever been served in a restaurant by somebody who didn't like their job? And it was obvious. Now, it could be that there are no other jobs available. This isn't what they chose for life, but got to pay the bills. Or maybe this is their second or third job. They didn't choose to be a servant, and you're almost afraid to ask for an extra knife that they might just throw it at you. But then you go to Chick-fil-A, and everything is my pleasure. Doesn't matter what you say, they're going to say, my pleasure. You could say, thank you for being annoying today. They would say, my pleasure. Try that next time you go. But you know, that gets our attention. My pleasure. Question. Would people in the world conclude that it is your pleasure to serve God? Would they say he chose that of everything else he could have done? He wants to serve. Is that what they would say? Or do we even in our language say things like, hey, you want to go hunting with us this weekend? No, I have to go to church. You want to go to the ball game tomorrow night? No, I have to go to the gospel meeting. Service is for volunteers, those who wish to do this, those who say it is our pleasure to serve Him who has done so much for us. What else would we want to do with our lives? You remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6 when he saw the Lord on the throne and he heard the voice of God say, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Isaiah said, here am I, send him, right? Send me. Service is for volunteers. Who will follow Jesus serving him today? Who's going to wear the apron and say, I will gladly serve. I'll make it my mission in life. Jesus emptied himself. He humbled himself. Let it be for those who will follow Jesus. Second, we learn that service is for the selfless. So for volunteers, second for the selfless, which means there's no such thing as a selfish servant. I remember one day when the kids were younger, there was always a competition among them as to who was going to do something first, who was going to get there first. And so one day we were all in the kitchen, and Melissa turned, my wife turned to the kids and said, who's going to be selfless? And one of them said, I'll be selfless first. Well, there's no such thing in God's kingdom. Notice the request in verse 37 and see if you can detect what words they might have emphasized, James and John, in their request. Look at it again, verse 37. Give to us that we may sit in your glory. One on your right and one on your left. Who do you think they were thinking of? Who was number one to them? They were thinking about themselves. And later when we read that in verse 41, the ten,
Now see, we're off kilter already. They're supposed to be the 12, and now it's the 10 versus James and John. And they begin to feel indignant. They were angry with James and John. And my speculation is because James and John beat them to the punch, because they wanted those positions.
Remember, they were the ones who three times were told, Luke 9:46, Matthew 18, verse 1, Luke 22, and verse 24, were disputing among themselves who's the greatest. Which one of us is the best disciple? They sure didn't see that in Jesus. They sure didn't detect that spirit from their master. In fact, what they saw in him was a life of service. And have you ever thought about it, even on those, sometimes we call them the seven sayings on the cross, so the seven things that are recorded that Jesus said while he was crucified, even in those things, have you ever thought about how those maintained his mission of service? For instance, "Woman, behold thy son." And I must confess, I used to think that Jesus was saying, "Mother, look at what they've done to me." And the song 10,000 Angels kind of gives that impression. But remember, Mary was standing at the foot of the cross with John, the disciple from our text. And when he says, "Woman, behold thy son," the next statement is, "Son, behold thy mother." And so he was talking to Mary and John. And the next verse says, "From that day that disciple took Mary into his house." So Jesus, as the firstborn, the eldest son, in his dying breath, is making certain his mother will be cared for. Not to be served, but to serve. To the thief who knew more about Jesus' kingdom than his own disciples, because even though Jesus was dying, he said, "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Your kingdom will still come." And did Jesus say, "Ah, you had your chance. You blew your life. No, today you will be with me in paradise." Serving. "Father, forgive them." It's reported that the last words of Saddam Hussein before his execution, he was given opportunity to make a statement. They already had the shroud over his face and the noose around his neck that would hang him. And the guard asked him for any last words. And it's reported that he said, "Allah condemn you." And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." Service is for the selfless. People who put themselves last. Who will follow Jesus? Somebody told me that the word joy, if you can just remember how to spell that, that will mark the priorities in life that bring joy. And so you just remember Jesus is first and others are second.
and yourself is last. Now, many will say, well, that's a recipe for disaster. Who's going to be joyful by being last? But do you not see that when we put others before self and we can rejoice with them, then that will give greater opportunities to have joy in this life, to experience the joy of serving and being like Jesus, who did not come to wear a bib, but to wear an apron. It's not about you. Service is for the selfless. A few years ago at Southside, the elders presented to the congregation a paperless hymnal, which is the same thing we have in the songbook, only it's projected on the screens. And they said, we're going to do this for a trial period, and we solicit the feedback of the congregation. Now, it was not an issue of right and wrong, truth and error. If you can read it out of a book, you can read it off a screen. So it was a matter of personal preference. And I was surprised when the elders told me that the people they heard from first who were in favor of it were the older people. I kind of thought, well, they'll just be resistant to change. But the feedback from the older people was, these songbooks are heavy, and it's hard to turn the pages, and when we're standing up to sing, it's hard to hold on to the pew to stable yourself and hold on to a book. They said, this is helping our worship. The second group they heard from were the mothers with young children, who said, it's hard to wrestle a songbook, hold a baby, the diaper bag, and all that. And they said, it's helping our worship just to look up at the screen and sing. Now, there was a group who it was not their preference. They did not particularly like it. But you know what they said? They said, if it's helping their worship, we're all for it. And if we want to just still use a book, we can do that. But if it's for them, we'll give preference to our brethren. Just like Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 10, giving preference to one another in honor. Who will follow Jesus as a selfless servant? Serving Him today. Then number three. Service is, remember, for volunteers. Got to want to. Service is for the selfless. And third, service is for the humble. In verse 44, we read, Jesus said, whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. Just like when Paul described Jesus in Philippians 2 and verse 4, that he took on the form of a bond servant. And that word is just as it sounds, somebody who is literally bound to another. They don't own property. They don't have rights. They're completely at the disposal of another. Jesus took on the form of a bondservant, and instead of putting himself first, became the slave of all. Have you ever thought that on the night when he washed the disciples' feet in John chapter 13, the night he knew that Judas would betray him and that Peter would deny him, Jesus washed the feet of all 12 apostles. He didn't skip over Judas or Peter. He was the servant of all.
He humbled himself and became the servant of all. You know, I can be a pretty good servant if I get to pick and choose who I'll serve. You know, if the wife of one of the elders is in the hospital, we'll drop everything. We'll prepare food. We'll go visit. What if it's the member who's always just barely hanging on? I mean, just always kind of on the outskirts and the periphery, and they come forward during the assembly and we go, oh, what is it this time? How quick are we to humble ourselves and serve that brother or sister? Jesus said, to the extent you served even the least of them, you did it for me. So the attitude is, there's no task that's beneath me to serve. There's nothing that comes up and says, well, somebody else will do that. I will serve. And there's no person who is beneath me that I won't humble myself and be their servant. Because service is for the humble. Remember, you put yourself at the end. Who will follow Jesus serving him today? In the first century, there was a coin minted by the Roman government that had an ox on the front of it. And the ox had before it a plow, and on the other side was an altar. And so the idea was the ox could either be hitched to the plow and go into the field, or it could be slaughtered as a sacrifice on the altar. And the inscription on the coin said, ready for either. James, the son of Zebedee, was the first of the apostles sent to the altar. He was killed by Herod in Acts chapter 12. And don't you know, if somebody had this big personality, a son of thunder, boisterous, that he would have stood out, and Herod would have pointed across the crowd and said, I want that one dead. And he was killed with the sword, likely beheaded. His brother John, we call him the aged apostle, who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation. Ready for either the altar or the field to serve. We've got to be ready, and we've got to be willing to follow Jesus in his mission of service. And you know what he'll say to us when we see him face to face? Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. And you know what we can say? Mission accomplished. You ready to be a servant? First act of service is to give your life to Jesus, to fall down before him, confessing your faith and repenting of your sins. And he washed you clean. You can do that today by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We're going to sing a song of encouragement where you could make that decision. Or if you need the service of your brothers and sisters here, then come and make that known right now while we stand up, while we sing.